Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In our studio now is Dr. Janice Jackson, the CEO of Hope Chicago, hopechicago.org, if you're writing that down, and you might want to have that handy after this conversation. We visit with Dr. Jackson now and again about this organization, about its ambitions, and about its successes. Welcome back, Janice. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, good. Last time you were here, you actually brought a couple of students with
yes.
you. For those, again, who don't know what Hope Chicago is, what is Hope Chicago?
Hope Chicago is a program that focuses on both generations, the students and their families. And our goal is to send our students and their parents, if they're willing to go, to college debt free. And we have been around for the past 3 years. And today we're discussing the 3-year impact report. We have a lot of terrific data to share. And we're really excited about the impact that we've made in a short period of time.
One of your colleagues said that while you finance scholarships for kids, it's more than a scholarship program. What else is it besides a scholarship program?
Yeah, I think if you think of Hope as just a scholarship, it really buries the lead around what we do. This is really a plan to narrow the economic gap, specifically between African-American and Latino students and families in Chicago and their peers. And as an educator, I've said this before, I'm biased. I think education is the best way to disrupt cycles of poverty. And we're doing just that through Hope Chicago.
So you give money to the students. What else do you do?
We do a lot. So first of all, we do make sure college is debt free for them. And I really want to lean into that because our families have to take on a huge financial risk if they decide to go to college. When you remove that, we see thousands more students take on that opportunity. For example, at Hope Chicago, we have about 1,800 students that have gone through our program. That is a huge increase prior to Hope because they don't have the financial risk. But we also provide them with wraparound support so that they can be successful. Because many of our students and families are still first gen, they need support navigating that. And universities are big places, and they don't always have the supports in place to make sure students can be successful. We partner with them as well as with nonprofit organizations to make sure they have a bunch of support wrapped around them so that they can stay in school and, more importantly, complete school.
Sometimes systemic ideas like this have as the end goal reduction of crime mm-hmm. in a city because
yeah.
people now have a means.
Yeah.
Was that the motivator, or was it education unto itself?
No, the motivator is for people to have a better life, full stop. And we know that poverty, there's so many issues connected to that. And as I stated before, making sure people have an opportunity to take care of themselves and their families changes trajectories, right? And so going to college is just a means to an end. The ultimate goal is better life outcomes, and it all goes back to education.
But our CPS students... ready for college?
They are. And we have. So one of the things that made this a good next step for me after leaving CPS is we've made tremendous impact as far as students going to college, students graduating. But I think the next edge of growth is them actually being successful in college and completing college, which is why we're celebrating persistence today. So, for example, at Hope, yeah. we got more kids in. We were able to do that because more kids graduated. They don't have the financial risk. But here we are 2 years later. A 66% increase in the number of students that are still enrolled. That's a huge increase, John, especially coming from neighborhood schools on the south and the west side. And what I would also say to your point about systemic change is we're proving what is possible when you give people the resources and the support. And at the end of the day, you're going to have more educated people in Chicago. And that's good for Chicago.
I want to talk about the results of this impact study, but just one last point, though, and that is not all kids in CPS are ready for college. The percentage of them that are reading or doing math at grade level is less than 50%, right?
There are challenges around reading at grade level, and CPS has made good progress for that. And when I was the superintendent, I talked often about the fact that the growth in CPS is still remarkable. If you look now, even the growth post-pandemic is outpacing other large urban industries. But with that said, we're not giving up on kids at 17 and 18. We are getting them in schools. For some of our students, they go to 2-year colleges first. Some of them go into career and technical education programs. But even people talk a lot about vocational ed, and I'll say one point about that. those programs are not accessible for our kids either, because many of them have application fees that cost hundreds of dollars. And so Hope Chicago supports students who want to take that pathway as well. The bottom line is, we're not giving up on you at 18 because you need additional support.
So you've been out there for a few years. So now you're tracking what the percentage of the kids that go into college or say voc ed and are staying.
And are staying, right. So like your point earlier, we've been doing well getting more kids in college for about 10 or 15 years in CPS. But where we've been challenged is students actually completing. And so what we've seen in our data thus far gives us great confidence that we're going to see a rate that outpaces not only the district, but potentially the national average. That's good news. And it also is instructive for other people who are trying to increase college enrollment rates. I think the other thing that's important is our parent program, which I know we've talked about before. We have 135 parents enrolled in our program, and 85% of them are still enrolled after 1 year. That's a remarkable outcome. And what we know, that if we have stronger families and our parents are making more money, that has a correlation into how the students are doing.
I just want to read the statistic that you mentioned a moment ago. Key findings from your impact report at Hope Chicago include this. Hope Chicago's first cohort, that would be the first class of kids we're talking about,
yes,
produced a 66% increase in the number of high school graduates still enrolled in college through two full academic years.
Yes.
66% of the kids that enrolled, say, as freshmen are going in as juniors.
Yep.
I wonder how that compares just to the general student population at universities.
You know, I don't have, that's actually an interesting question. And part of the reason we don't know the answer is because that's not always publicly shared. What I will tell you, though, just to give you a good comparison point, is that the average after the first year for first-generation African-American and Latino students is around 50%. The reason we're celebrating at this two-year mark, if you will, is because the research is very clear. If students complete those first four semesters of college, the likelihood that they graduate goes up exponentially. Most kids drop out that first year. So if we can get them into that junior year, which we've done, we know that more of them are going to be successful and complete.
I would be surprised if it's much more than 66% for the general student population. Maybe it is higher than that. I know that most kids are in college 5 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
they're,
true.
They're
that's
not
true.
Sprinting through those 4 years.
Yeah.
Your report includes this: three consecutive years of post-secondary enrollment increases.
Yes.
At your partner high schools. What does that mean?
That means more kids are going to college. So before Hope Chicago, about half of the students across these schools would go to college. That number is at 80% right now. That's a huge increase. And we know a big part of it is better preparation, to your point earlier, but it really is reducing that financial risk.
Say that again. 81% this year of what?
Of the graduating seniors from those five high schools
are going to college.
Yes. And before Hope Chicago in 2021, during the pandemic, it was 51%.
What high schools are we talking about?
We're talking about the five high schools in our network. That is Morgan Park High School, Juarez and Pilsen, Farragut and Little Village, Al Raby and West Garfield Park, and Noble Johnson in Englewood.
What is the makeup of the student body in those schools?
Across those schools, about 53% of our students are Latino or Hispanic, and the remaining group are African American. We do have a small Asian Pacific Islander population, but mostly Black and Latino students.
And they get free college.
They get free college, debt free.
Even if they are a C student or a D student, if they want to go,
we support them. Yep. And they have to get in on their own, which is also important. We don't ask colleges to change their admissions criteria. So if a student's graduating, let's say with a 2.5 GPA, and a city college is the right option for them, we support them through that process. And just this weekend, I got an email from one of our students, Sammy, who told me, my dream is to go to UIC. He started at a junior college. He immigrated here from Pakistan. He is now going to UIC this fall because of the Hope Chicago program. It's stories like that that keep me motivated.
I wonder if a kid or the family of a kid who's a freshman in high school would be very motivated to be a better student if they knew that college would be free.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of why we're seeing that enrollment increase, because the students who are seniors right now, they've known about this since they were freshmen. And so they know, if I got a chance to go to Loyola or U of I or these other programs, I'm going to work that much more harder because I know I don't have to worry about the finances.
And not to besmirch schools that have lower standards than Loyola or U of I or even UIC. I'm a Southern Illinois Carbondale grad.
Woohoo! They're Hope Chicago school too.
You can get a college education.
You can get a college education. And you know what's great about that point you made is many of our students don't consider schools downstate because, one, they're not familiar or they don't get a chance to go and visit. We actually pay for them to visit while in high school. And because of that, we have students who are going all over the state.
What do you mean Southern is a Hope School?
They're one of our partner schools. So 29 institutions in Illinois work with us. And the reason why we identify them as Hope Schools is because they have agreed to work with our students, give us data on how they're performing, and help intervene to keep these kids on track.
If a student wants to go to a school outside that network, is that okay?
What we do is give them a small stipend, but they don't get the full cost of college being free, and they don't get all the wraparound support.
It sounds like ambitious but crazy expensive idea.
It is.
How much money do you all have in the bank for instance, is there an endowment? Does the interest pay for this?
No, we're not an endowment. We actually raise and spend. We've done a terrific job getting many people behind us. Our motto is the whole city is behind you. Right now, we've raised tens of millions of dollars. We'll be making a big announcement soon about where that has gone. But people have really stepped up. And I think they step up. Number one, education is something people care about. But I think people care about this city and where it's going even more.
Okay, you didn't say the number on the air that you said off the air, and I won't ask you to.
Yeah.
But it is many tens of millions of dollars.
Yes, it is.
Talk to me about that the next time you come into
our studio.
Some questions for you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you think the school board should be elected?
Well, I've been on the record plenty times to say that I wasn't the biggest fan of an elected school board. That said, that's water under the bridge right now, and people have voted for that, and I believe that it's a more democratic process. What I'm most concerned with right now is the opportunity that's before us. We have an opportunity to create a more democratic process. So far, I'm unsure that we've been able to achieve that. I think that parents need to make sure they do their homework and go out and vote for people who have their interests in mind. But I'm concerned about the things that I've been seeing in the past few months and the board that we're going to have in a couple of months.
You're concerned about outside interests flooding the school board with hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations?
I mean, that was one of my concerns early on. This is Chicago, and it's a political process. I don't think there was any way to get around it. However, I do think there was an opportunity to have more finance reform up front, which wasn't taken into consideration when this bill was rushed through. So we're seeing the effects of that right now.
It's been suggested to me on our Mincing Rascals podcast a couple of times, a panel of Chicago commentators, that the Chicago Public School District is too big. It should be two or three school districts.
No, I don't think. I think Chicago should remain a united school district. I think our city is segregated enough. And if we continue to break things up, the students and families who have gotten the shortest end of the stick, they're going to get even less in a model like that. We need better governance.
Governance by whom?
Well, it starts with the mayor's office. That's a big part of it. That's going to shift, obviously, as we come in with an elected school board. But the elected school board really will have an opportunity now to govern for the entire city. That is going to, it's going to take a lot in order for it to be both a productive and functional board. And I'm worried that there isn't anyone standing up and really directing what that's going to look like.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But do you think that some of these underpopulated schools should be closed in the neighborhoods?
I've talked about that before. I'm not a big fan of closing schools just to close them, but I've seen it on the inside. And as a superintendent, I actually close schools. At the end of the day, there are schools that I think would be better off if consolidated. But I think that what's the bigger opportunity here is for people to really understand the issues. Once the new board is installed, they're going to learn a lot that people don't know from the outside looking in.
If enrollment is less than 50% of what a school was
designed for. I don't have a bright line that says 50%. I think what I'm saying is we have a lot of challenges in CPS. Enrollment is one of them. I would argue probably one of the biggest ones. And now we're going to have more people a part of that decision-making process. And what I would implore anybody who's in a decision-making position to think about is what's in the best interest for students.
And that's a decision. Those are a series of decisions that a school board
would make. Absolutely.
So what did you make of the now ousted, 7 days on the job, president of the Chicago School Board?
Well, I think everybody's commented on that. I mean, I don't know the man personally, but I think there is a vetting process that must happen before anybody is given an opportunity like that, especially an opportunity where you're making decisions that impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. So it's a shame that that wasn't vetted more closely, but the issue has been resolved, and I'm just looking forward to tomorrow with the election.
It was the right decision.
Oh, yeah, I think it was the right decision.
Ask him to step down.
I think that was the right decision.
I just don't know how a Google search didn't generate some of the comments. When you saw those, you thought game over, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw, just like everybody else, but I think to me, that's more of a non-issue than where we are moving forward, because we're going to have a new board installed in January, and that board is really going to make critical decisions for the district.
Okay, but to what degree does the president of the school board impact the school board? Is that
that's the leader of the school board. That will be the leader.
Do you think that person will set some of these policy initiatives?
I think that person is going to be the leader, and they're going to work collaboratively, but I can't speak because I'm not in a position to guide that. I think ideally, the opportunity that's in front of us is to have people who are part of the community representing different parts of the city working collaboratively and making those decisions.
But then what agenda items would you ask the new president of the school board to enact?
Well, I don't have to set the agenda. The agenda is set. I think they're going to have to balance the budget, which is always a need.
You wouldn't
annually
borrow that money, would you?
Well, that's a different decision. I'm not in that position. I don't have all of the data in front of me. I do know that that's a decision that someone had to make. I 1,000% support Pedro Martinez and the former board that stepped down. So I support their decisions then, and I support their decisions now.
Why did those board members all step down?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to any
of them. How strange that they haven't, and the new board, when they had the press conference with Mayor Johnson, that was not a question that was available to the press. How or why did those people all step down?
I don't know. We're all waiting to figure that out.
So, but about Pedro Martinez, I don't know if his days are numbered. Looks like they are. You think he's been doing a good job?
I think Pedro has done a really good job. He just put out a new blueprint for the district after our last vision sunsetted. He has experience. He's a Chicago native. Like I said, I support him fully. So I think he's the right leader for the district at this time. But ultimately, you know, the people who are given the right to make those decisions will make the decisions that they think are best.
So that's the second half of this interview. Dr. Janice Jackson is here from Hope Chicago. She's the CEO of that organization that not only raises money for kids to go to college, but as she said, provides wraparound services for the families to keep them in there.
Yeah.
And the impact report shows 81% in 2024 of those kids are still in school.
Yes.
Oh, that is such good news.
That
Congratulations.
Is great news. We need some good news around here.
You think? All right, so come back when you have some other numbers to share
with
us. I will.